Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and this week's episode, it is the penultimate one of the season. So next week we have a very special episode planned with two guests. We're bringing back that particular theme of having two guests for an end of season. And oh, I only just realized this, they're also fellow podcasters, just like you. So apparently I've got a whole theme running for the end of this season. They're going to know how to talk on a mic. And they're going to have a mic full stop. So yay for the audio. Pete will be delighted. For now, this week's guest, I had the delight of meeting when I spoke at the podcast show in London last month. As host of the first matchmaking podcast, they interview a guest each week to find them dates. Please welcome Katie McNamara.
Hi, Bobby. So nice to be here.
I know. Well, it's funny, right? Because we met at the show. You'd come along to a panel I was on, and then I bumped into you the next day when you came to my talk. Now we're doing this, and then I'm going on your podcast. So, yeah, confirmed.
Your best friend.
In each other's lives.
Yeah, I love
podcasters,
it.
Podcasters, obviously we move fast. And so in this episode, we'll establish, do you move as fast in dating? Because I think I maybe know the answer to that.
Yeah, I do.
And so before we talk about a particular person who you may or may not be having a great relationship with, tell me about a dating story from the vault.
Oh, gosh. Yes. I was a serial dater on the apps, it has to be said. Like, I really gave them my all. I think if you're on them, that is the only way. It is a game and you just accept that. And it's a numbers game and you just go through and through and through until you find someone decent. And I've had so many bad ones. Actually, though, this one that I'm going to tell wasn't from an app. It was from an in-person meeting. Mm-hmm. So I had like really high hopes for this. So I went fast, as you said.
I love it. You're going counterculture. You're like, you know what? I've had a lot of dating app disasters on this show and they're true, but in real life can be a disaster as well.
Honestly, when I saw this guy, it was actually at my gym and I was like, this is like the movies, you know, I can't wait. He's so my type. And he actually got chatting to me and I was like, perfect. We were actually going to like the same club. It was like a rotation every Tuesday he would be on. And he was like, see you next week. And I was like, great. I only got his first name, nothing else. And I was like, I'm not going to be a weirdo. I'm not going to ask for his number. Like, I'll just naturally, like, if he comes back, I'll chat to him again. Anyway, 2 weeks went by. He didn't come back to the same session. And I was gutted. I was like, no, I'd built this up in my head that it was all going to work out. I went home. I was living with two girls at the time and they were like, what did you find out? Like, did you find out what he does or like anything that we could use? Because I literally only had his first name. And I was like, this is quite random. But I did find out that he ran the London Marathon last year and he said he didn't finish because he got injured. So one of my housemates was like, perfect. There's data on that on the internet. So we literally looked up like, do not finish as the London Marathon. And there's only two people with this name. So then obviously type that full name. It has your full name on the marathon registration into Facebook, found him instantly. It was like, great. And then I was like, I can't add him. I can't message him because what am I going to say that I stalked the London Marathon list? Like, absolutely not. So like a week later, an email list came out for the group at the gym. And they didn't BCC the emails and they just clearly added them in chronological order. So the last email was his address. I could kind of see it was like the letter of his first name and then the surname. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to email.
Yeah, because that's the less creepy, I'm sure.
I know. I went with like, at least I've been given that information.
People are really putting his information out there between that and the marathon.
Yeah, exactly. Shows how easy it is to find someone if you know a little bit about them. But
yeah, so much for London anonymity, right?
Literally none. I emailed and it was very clear and short, just like, hi, this is Katie from the gym. I got your email from the list. Would you like to go for a drink? Here's my number, like really short. And he actually WhatsApped me straight back being like, hi, this is really fun. Like, can't believe you saw my email. Let's go for a drink. And I was like, fantastic. I was feeling so proud of myself. Everyone in the office was giving a round of applause. They were like, you're so brave, you did it. And I was like, yay.
I love that everyone, your friends, your work, everyone's involved at this point. That's very me.
Everyone had to know that the email was being sent. Because to be honest, I do so much of this stuff for the stories. Mm. Like, it is just funny. I thought if he never replied, like, oh, well, it gave everyone else great content to talk about in their day. Don't know. So we did actually go on the date and it went really well. Like, he walked me home. We had a little smooch at the end. I was like, this is, again, dreamy. He asked me out for lunch in a work day, like for a second date. And I was like, well, that's quite sweet, like a bit different.
Whereas so, yeah, I'd be thinking, does he have a job?
Yeah, so his
well, you probably already knew this with the research.
His office was like a 10-minute walk from mine. So he was like, oh, let's just meet for a lunch. And okay. I was like, that's nice. So like trying to, I guess, like cram it into your evenings.
Also, not for nothing, it's probably good dating etiquette, right, that there was a time limit on it. So if it was bad, you've got to get back to work. You've got your excuse right there.
Yeah, I often say that on my own podcast. Like, I think having like an hour time frame is a really good idea. Just like if you are a bit worried it's not going to go well, you have a perfect excuse of like, I've got a meeting, bye, like, or whatever it is. I've got a dinner, bye. Quite a few people do that. And I think it's not a bad idea for early dates. So yeah, I was well up for this lunch. I was like, I think that's nice. And again, it went really well. So caveat, this is in January. My birthday is at the end of the month. And I always do like a big thing in an Irish pub, actually. My favorite Irish pub, Waxy O'Connor's. And I was like, I'm just going to invite him, which in hindsight was like me moving too fast. The classic theme of just, you know, me. But when I like someone, I go all in. Like, I'm not very shy about letting them know. So I don't know.
I think that's kind of cool. That you can, so yeah. You've had two dates at this point, so maybe it's a bit forward, but also, like, there is a certain, in fact, no, I can't even rationalize it. I think it's just because I relate, because I would definitely do the same, and now I'm rationalizing it for me. But no, I think it's cool, but then that's because we're probably both people that would be like, sure, we'd say yes to that invitation, because it wouldn't be too fast for us.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a big deal. And I also said, like, it's just a pub. Like, it's not a ticketed event. You can just bring friends. I made it very clear, like, don't come on your own, bring friends, because I knew coming on his own would be way too intense, probably.
Yeah, just surrounded
by know me.
The jury of all your friends.
Literally, and they are intense, which I pre-warned. So anyway, we get there. What does he do? He arrives by himself. And I'm like, okay. He's social, it'd be fine, but like not ideal. It would have been better. Then I'm quite close with my family and they knew I was having this event, but I didn't invite them. So they decided to come and surprise me and arrive at this birthday.
Oh, that's how boundaries work. Yep.
Which, like, I was really happy they came and surprised me, but this guy panicked. He thought that like orchestrated this. Yeah, that I brought him there to meet all my friends and family and it was almost like our engagement party. Like, he probably panicked. And I had to be like so reassuring of like, no, like, trust me, I had no idea. I mean, I like got a bit emotional when they arrived. Like, I was a bit teary. I thought I wasn't acting, but maybe he thought I was just like the best actor in the world.
Wow.
But yeah, it was my two brothers and my dad. So like, it's, you know, it wasn't just like one family member. But they know my friends and stuff quite well. So they were happy getting drunk with everyone. But as the night went on, he kept pulling me to the side, being like, some of your friends are saying really weird things. And I was like, what? They were like, oh, just the stuff of like, oh, if you hurt her, we'll be on to you. Like, threatening. And I was like, oh, they're just like drunk, just ignore them. But yeah, he was getting like more and more freaked out.
He's like, one of them showed me my Facebook.
Yeah. One of them showed me I didn't finish the London Marathon. Anyway, but yeah, all my friends obviously knew all this backstory anyway, but none of them brought it up. So I thought they did really well. Like, I was convinced one of them was going to spill that beans and I'd have to explain away my psychopathic behaviors. But anyway, we actually went home together that night. Nothing like super sexual happened, but I was like, oh, that's a good sign that he at least like wanted to come back, you know, like spend the night.
Mm-hmm.
I was going on holiday the next day, literally really early. So I left at like 6 a.m. And he texts like when he left the flat being like, oh, it was really nice, like nice evening. And then when I was on holiday, I didn't have very good signal, but he didn't message like the whole week. And I was like, interesting. So
the analysis.
I replied back and then I never heard anything ever again. Got ghosted after my birthday.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Well, you know, ghosting.
Yeah. It was a whole disappointment because I was just so excited about meeting someone in the wild. I think that's what like led me to do all these things because I was like, this is it. I was just so convinced.
Yeah. And I think there definitely is that thing that I can relate to of when it seems to happen organically, we can nearly kind of smother it of like, okay, this must be the fairy tale. Now I've got to do everything. And you forget the reason you're into it is because it was organic. Like, it's just complete irony that you're just oh no, now I need to engineer everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, dear. But yeah, it was...
What a guy. And you weren't tempted to reach out again? I mean, you probably know where he lives by that point.
So this was January 2020. And then obviously lockdown happened in March time. Mm-hmm. So I'd say literally like early April, maybe I was back on the apps in lockdown because I was super bored. That's another story. Those virtual dates. But one of them went really bad. And I remember I had a moment of weakness and I was like, you know what? Maybe he's bored in lockdown. And I literally sent like, hey, how are you? That was it. Four words. Ghosted again. It's just read, not replied.
Wow, bold moves. Because, I mean, we know what we're doing with our tech. You don't need to mark it as red. There's ways around it.
Yeah, exactly. He proper marked it as red, like blue ticked and all.
What a catch. Well, look, I mean, you know, in hindsight, is it fair to say there were maybe some red flags of can't complete a marathon, comes to the gym for one class and then disappears.
Never returns. Exactly. I should have taken that.
Doesn't message you while you're on holiday, only talks to you in person, and apparently then turns that into an entire personality by ghosting you forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not ready to commit to anything.
His biggest red flag, which I haven't actually had this before. I've read it like in articles and stuff. I've never actually experienced it. He told me that all his ex-girlfriends are psychos, like every single one. And yeah, I know. I'm sure I'm on the list now of like, this girl found me via email.
And you were like, I'm going to be different. No problems here.
I'm not a psychopath. I'm fine. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he probably tells all his friends I am. This added to the list.
It is a big red flag. Just be nice about your exes. I mean, ultimately, there's an argument that, it, you know, who does it reflect most on? Us still, right? Mm. Whether if all of your exes are awful, you know?
The common denominator is you. Yeah.
Look, I'd be the first one to hold my hands up of like, I've made a lot of choices. That has been what we've learned of like, why I have had a particularly checkered dating past. A lot of it is me choosing ridiculous scenarios to go pursue because that seemed more like a fun, emotionally avoidant fairy tale than actually committing to something that might work out.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But things got better. So tell me, going from something in real life that you were like, oh, this could be the fairy tale, to then something which seems very unlikely because I don't want to give too much away, but I think you had the experience of like the pandemic dating that the rest of us had decided was impossible, having tried and failed.
Yeah. Did you try the virtual dating?
I did. I tried. I mean, I still was kind of leaning towards like doing the socially distanced dates where possible. Mm-hmm. I found that for me, the thing that ruined it, I think, was feeling a certain amount of pressure of like, who knows when we'll be let out of the gaff again. And so now it's like, okay, I better choose somebody. So like the contrast of like feeling extra pressure of like, we're all a bit lonely. We all kind of don't know when the rules are going to change and we're trying to make the best of a terrible situation. Then with the like, we're all a bit socially fragile. We've forgotten how to have regular conversations. You know, it's an interesting melting pot.
It was. It was a big mix of emotions.
And we have nothing to talk about. Nothing's happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very hard to keep like the energy up around like what you're doing day to day when on those virtual dates of like I'd sit and have drinks on my own in my house. And yeah, the worst one was, so the call started at 9:30, the virtual date. And he told me at 10:30 he was hungry. So he was going to go get a snack. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, oh, have you not had dinner? Like, that was just my next obvious question. He was like, no, I have. I want a snack. And I was like, are you joking? You're hanging up because you want to go get a snack. As in, like, wouldn't you just go get a snack and be like, I'll be right back or whatever? I don't know. It was just such a bad excuse. And then, yeah, I never heard from him again. We mutually ghosted that one. I never reached out again because I was so off put by the snack. And the phone call was really lame, to be honest. So.
And I do think that's fair, right? I think, you know, I've really come around to like there are acceptable times of ghosting like that, where it's this mutual thing where there's kind of been very little commitment. And so therefore, like there shouldn't be any heartbreak coming out of like, that.
I don't think either of us were particularly upset. It was just like a bad phone call. He made a crap excuse of needing a snack and That was it. I think we both knew where we stood after that.
Yeah, well, you know.
But I wasn't going to reach out after someone had just hung up on me to go get a snack. No way.
Yeah, but then maybe that was it. Maybe that was him being like, oh, I don't know if either of us are feeling it, so food.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, either it was his best attempt at an excuse, or it was a very honest reflection of his mind where he was like, I don't know about this, but I do have a crunchy in the cupboard. So sometimes people are that simple, right? And so tell me, there was a better date.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yes, there was many dates. So I matched on Hinge with someone. He actually came up as my most compatible, which back in the day, that was rare that I'd actually see someone on my most compatible icon and be like, wow, actually, I could date them. Normally, mine were just not my type at all.
Well, let's pause on that because I've never really looked into it. I guess I always just assume the most compatible is people they were trying to like get rid of like, this person isn't getting enough match, right? I'm like, what is this for? Because it doesn't seem to have any like correlation with my interest or, you know, other people I'm swiping on, right? Is that's exactly. Not just me.
I thought the logical thing would be that it would like take data on who you were saying yes to and then kind of like aggregate that, I don't know, filter it down and find profiles that matched, but mine were so different, like so far between. I can't even like give examples, but they just one moment it would be like, yeah, I'm not actually going to give examples. I feel like I'm
not. Just but, like, they just take my word for it. Not good matches. I also decided there for a moment that the algorithm had its own preferences, if I put it that way, because when I was first using Hinge, I would only ever, although my profile was like open to any genders, I would only ever be given like, yeah, the most compatible being women. And I was like, loads of lovely women out there, not sure if these were the most compatible women for me. But it was a weird thing of like, what is Hinge trying to tell me here? Of like, give up on men. We've seen the algorithm. You're making the wrong choice. Stick to women. Then seemingly like out of the blue, then it started to kind of like alternate a bit more. And I was like, oh, I'm maybe not the only one that's noticed this.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that maybe it's actually on the other person's response rate. So if they're more likely to reply to you, it could be done based on that.
So then they'd be a good match in terms of this one's actually going to talk to you.
They'd actually reply. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I just thought of that. It could be actually on the other person of like, how responsive they are to their matches.
Well, so was this guy responsive?
No, because I was his first ever like Hinge date. He'd literally only just got the app. So he had one for one. He was so lucky. 100% success rate.
I meet those people. Bastards.
I don't know. I was like showing him my Hinge, being like, look how many, like scrolling through my like chats, being like, look how many I've had to go through. He's had like three. And like only met up with me. Incredible. But yeah, we just like, we had loads to talk about. And like you said, it was a really boring time in everyone's lives. But we seemed to like, we lived only 10-minute walk away from each other in London, which was crazy that we just like never met. But I think that's why maybe who's on the most compatible, because I still had my distance set to like 1 kilometer in London. So maybe it picked up on that. Don't know. But yeah, we had loads of stuff like that was like just weird coincidences. Both loved cats. Just like strange things.
Well, that is like, rare, okay. As we know. I also love cats.
Me too. I've got one.
That is
around.
A green flag. Yeah.
He's lurking. But yeah,
Go on, what else did you both like? Chocolate? Netflix?
No, Netflix is a big one. Netflix is a, TV is a big one for me. I have friends that don't watch TV and I don't understand what they do with their time. But yeah, so this is exactly what we started. We started doing, we did the classic drink date. It lasted 3.5 hours, just us in our respective bedrooms having one, I think I had two ciders. So like that was it. But yeah, it was just like really nice. And I hung up being like, this is good. But because he was from an app, I do tend to take those like a bit more with caution. So we did like a lot of dates, I guess, because we also didn't have anything to do. But we were both quite good at making them creative. So we did one where we watched Netflix Party, I think, and then we both ordered Domino's to each other's houses. It was sweet. Like, not obviously not on the same order. It was just like we ordered for ourselves. And yeah, we did like, you know, that was that random app, House Party. Do you remember that? I don't know if you ever played.
No, I don't.
It was like games that you could all play together, but you were also like on FaceTime at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah. Did like loads of stuff like that, just trying to keep it interesting. I think the most bold I went was I organized my work socials, like the team bonding ones, and I organized for a drag bingo event to like do one of the Zoom calls. But I was also like semi-hosting. So I invited him to the social as if it, like, as an outsider, he didn't even work at the company. And I had a few people message me at the end being like, who was that user? Like, they didn't have like...
What is it with you and loving to throw these men into like, let's see how you do in this social scenario? I think it probably is quite a good test.
Well, I guess the thing, it weeds them out, because after he didn't ghost me after that. So I was like, that's a great sign.
Yeah.
He saw me in some bizarre situation where I was like semi-hosting some bingo event.
Who was the drag queen? Side note.
Oh, no idea. It's the Blingo.
That great queen. Slay. So love like, her.
I booked the company. Oh, what are they called? Blingo Bingo?
Okay. No idea.
Yeah. It was just like one of their people that they had on a roster, I think. But yeah. Sorry, drag queen. Don't know your name.
And so from there, he survived.
He survived.
The corporate and then we did, bingo.
We did what you like to do with the classic social distance picnic. We could move on to that in May because Boris decided that we were allowed to do that one person outside your household.
It was such a strange time. The way I would sit on the other end of a bench to someone and be like, this is safe, right? We had no idea what we were doing.
It was chaotic. The toilet situation was so stressful. He drove 2.5 hours to come see me in a park because we were both at home at that time and they were not that close. And then obviously he was going to drive that long. He wasn't then going to stay for like an hour and then leave. We stayed like all afternoon. We bought some like dice games, like, you know, Perudo, because obviously you don't need to touch each other's dices. We were trying to do like all the games where you didn't have to like share items. It was ridiculous.
And we're surprised that intimacy didn't blossom in a lot of these situations.
Exactly.
Like, no, you have your dice and I'll have mine.
But it was interesting. My family thought it was amazing. They were like, oh my gosh, it's like you're going back into the olden days where you literally like weren't allowed to touch pre-marriage and you were like sussing each other's personalities out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you know what? It is quite nice having that element removed for a bit so we can actually just chat.
Well, a previous guest and, you know, dating coach that I'm a big fan of, Damona Hoffman, like that's a big part of her mentality. She calls it slow love. Of like, we're so inclined to kind of rush and have like deadlines on when we should meet the right person. And actually like the right people are the ones we should take our time with. And the wrong people are the ones that we're like, oh yeah, I look at the time. Sorry about that. Gotta go.
I completely agree with that. And this is like my whole thing as well about like getting to know someone's personality is so much more important in a first instance than their looks. Because when I met him for my social picnic date, that first one, we must have been virtually dating for a month and a half. Like, I had a rough idea of what he looked like, but it's not quite the same as when you see someone in person. Like, their mannerisms and the way that they hold themselves, I think, is so dependent on then how attractive you'll find them.
You need to know if they have a silly walk. It's important information.
Yeah, just like their stature. Obviously on FaceTime you only see their face as well. Like, you've actually got no idea like how tall they are. Obviously they'd say it on the app, but everyone lies. He did lie. He put on another inch.
I hope you called him out for it.
Oh, massively. I still bring it up. I mean, we're 3 years later, I still bring it up.
Because it's so ridiculous. And then it's particularly ridiculous, like, if men are lying to other men about it, because then it's like, so what, you're going to say you're the same height as me? We'll soon find out.
Yeah.
It's so
ridiculous. I talk about the height all the time, but do you know what really annoys me? There's this guy who has a podcast. His handle's like Trip Advice. I can't think what his first name is. He's like a dating coach for men to date women. And he literally says so openly, he thinks men should add 1 to 2 inches to their dating profiles. Like, he's giving that professional advice.
For what? Nobody's trusted.
It gets you through the door. Yeah. His thing
not
is,
not if everyone's doing that, then everyone's just talking, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, he's not coaching that many people.
Well, he's very big. Yeah.
No, I'm sure he is. Like, there are plenty of people who are very big. I don't mind calling out publicly. Matthew Hussey, load of shit. Can't stand it.
Just like that. Just like that. It's exactly the same vibe. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. He posted it literally the other day and I was like, I nearly commented and I was like, you know what? This is what he wants. He wants that interaction. Because sometimes I think they want to be controversial just to get the algorithms going anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's fun to see. Yeah, his name's Max Tripp Kramer. But yeah, he's got 129,000 followers.
He'd maybe have less if they were successfully getting together. Right? If it was working. No, I'm such a cynic. One of my mates I made through this podcast is like, she's even more severe on it than I am, where she's just like, these people aren't accountable. Like, this stuff doesn't work, but people are so convinced that there must be some answer, they keep listening and they just blame themselves. And I think there is a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, he screenshots all the time men on his coaching program being like, I've met like 5 women this week and it's all down to you. I don't know what he's telling them to do. Probably just go out and chat to people.
Yeah, look, I'll have to get him on the pod. I could cross-examine him properly. But
yeah, ask him about the height. But yeah, we've massively diverged.
But back to a man who is real, even if his height isn't.
Yes, he was real. And it honestly went so well, these picnic dates. And I was still had my flat that was a 10-minute walk from him in London. So I was like, you know what? I was quite done with living at home at that point. It was probably around June. I'd already been there since mid-March. So I was very much ready to move back to my own space. My office was opening up. Things were getting a bit brighter in terms of like what you could do. And because both of us living at home, we were very conscious of the rules. You know what it was like? I think in lockdown one, you were like very aware that like if you gave one of your family members COVID, that would be like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. So we decided both of us would move back. I'd move back to my flat and he'd move back to his, and we'd be 10-minute walk apart. So it wasn't too intense of like moving in together straight away, but we had that separation. As you can imagine, that did not
I love that you phrased that in a way that was so transparent that you'd already considered moving in together. You're like,
yeah,
well we decided against this, but we did this instead. And tell me at this stage, what kind of things were most attracting you? What were the green flags?
Oh, so many green flags. The biggest one was his communication. Like, I'd never met someone that, even if he couldn't reply to me that day, he'd send me like a short little message being like, I'm having a crazy day at work. He was also doing his like exams for work as well. Just always let me know, like, I'm going to be revising this evening, so I won't be able to call. I won't be on my phone. And I just never experienced anything like that for someone to just so openly tell me their schedule, not like hide it. I've had a lot of people that have just like not wanted to share with me what they're doing. And
oh, that's one of my biggest red flags. When people are like, and often it comes from a place of they're judging their own life, right? That they feel they should have more interesting things to tell you about, or that you won't be interested in hearing about their day. And it's like, well, no, if I end up with you, I'll be hearing about your day. That's part of it, right? And so either we start now or I get bored of, towing the conversation, right?
Yeah, definitely. So I just also, I kind of said it before and I didn't say it very well, but we did have so much in common and to talk about, which just always lasted. We used to say that we were writing letters to each other because the text was so long, it had that read more thing. And it would take like 20 minutes to like actually, you know, when you don't want to miss like a topic, so you end up writing in like were literally like paragraphs.
That is both lovely and disgusting. Go on.
I know, it was so mushy, but like we just kind of made a joke out of it. It wasn't like anyone was almost putting the other person down about how much they wrote or had to say. Again, like I feel like I've been in situations where someone said to me like, oh, you text me too much, or you write too much, or again, the communication is shot down, not built up. And I felt like he was always like, neither of us were being negative in that space. We were just saying, we were laughing about it, being like, oh, it's hilarious how we have so much to say that we're writing paragraphs, but it was still all in a positive frame.
That's nice. And so you both move back to your respective flats. You're 10 minutes away. Mm-hmm. You get to see each other in person, distance more. Where did things go from there?
Well, this thing, I just moved in because I was a 10-minute walk away. I obviously went to the office.
I had to, right? Yeah. No choice. I was nearly living with him already.
My housemates didn't move back. I was by myself. So most evenings, read every evening, just went over and hang out because I didn't have anyone else to hang out with.
And was that then a big part of the decision of like, we're in this situation, like we're aware that this is moving fast, but you know, this is a potential way through it, that if we move in together, then essentially we're in the same bubble and then we're following the rules? Or was there an element of, if you're really honest, you like to move fast and this situation allowed for it?
100%. I think if I'm being completely honest, it's something that I would have done with anyone that I felt that it was going to go somewhere. I'm very all in. I'm the same with friendships, to be honest. Like if I meet someone and I get on with them, I'm not going to just like slowly get into the relationship. I don't know, like put off not messaging them or seeing them. I'll be like, you know, when someone says like, oh, we should get a drink sometime. If I say that, I actually mean it. And I'll probably text you the next day being like, let's put in a date. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to be just like,
I think we're similar.
Yeah.
I think that we have that in common. There's a reason why we got to do this so quickly. We're like, let's schedule it in.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, I just think, what's the point in waiting a month or 2 months or whatever you've told yourself is the right amount of time? Like, you kind of touched on it earlier with relationships. I think we're so set on like, oh, by the third date, you must have kissed them. By the fifth date, you probably should have sex with them. By 3 months, you probably should be official. Like, but realistically, that's just what we've made up to tell ourselves. Like, yeah.
And it's different for everyone, right? We're all totally entitled to our own boundaries, our own pace. You know, there's particularly around like, yeah, making it official, like labeling the relationship. Mm. Everyone's different on that, of like when they want to do it. Like, I cannot relate to friends of mine that will be with someone for 6 months. And I'm like, oh, so like, what is it? And they're like, oh, we'll see. I'm like, why has nothing been seen?
I don't understand it. Like, I feel like I'm quite old fashioned in that sense with this new dating age of everyone talks about like, you know, situationships in the gray areas. And I just never want to be in them. I want to know, like, do you like me? Yes or no? I think it's an easy thing to admit.
Fall into those, but I fall into those kind of, yeah, like more organically or like through friendships. And but then particularly, I think like things like dating apps where it's like it's very clearly denoted what we're both here for. Then I'm like,
100%.
Yeah, we probably want to get some answers on that, how this is going.
Yeah, I was always like a date one person at a time. Like I would still, even if, you know, it was going not well, I'd make sure that at least in my mind, I'd cut off with that person and been like, I'd always send a message. I'd never ghost, being like, sorry, not really feeling it. And then I'd move back on. I said, with the apps, I'd do batches. So I like to remind this lovely guy we met in COVID that he was a batch of 83. And out of those 83, I cut them down to 3. So then he was one of 3 that I actually messaged.
I think honestly, that's like the truest thing I've ever heard about an app, of like, that's how you met somebody in a pandemic and it went well and you met them on an app. And so tell me, now you're still living together?
We are. Yep. I'm sat in his flat currently with all my lovely artwork.
I love that. Yeah. Your cat, your podcast setup.
Yeah. My studio is the spare bedroom.
It sounds like it's worked out really well. Congratulations. I'm actually so delighted, because it's so rare that I hear these stories of like the lockdown relationships, because this was 2020, right?
Yeah. 2020. So it's our 3-year anniversary tomorrow. So that was early June when we moved back into London. He asked me to be his girlfriend literally on day 2.
Wow.
So yeah, and it was quick.
Yeah, But sometimes you know, sometimes it works. This is great. And so we'll talk about what it then inspired in the podcasting world. But for now, we need to choose our rules of the game. So do you have a bit of advice if people are relating to this? They're like, so this woman managed it in a pandemic. There must be some things to take from that.
100%. Oh, we kind of touched on it earlier with the obviously go with personality. I think the apps are terrible for setting you up for focusing on literally what someone looks like and nothing else. You know, you get like five pictures. And I've been on so many bad app dates, honestly, hundreds, because that was all I was basing it on. I literally just what someone looked like doesn't mean that you'll be compatible at all. And also because I was quick moving, I'd normally get in a date to see someone quite quickly. So we wouldn't really chat that much. So I'd go in almost like blind dates and then obviously find out mid-date that we had nothing in common. So not even mid-date, probably in the first 10 minutes. So I'd honestly, like, I think the worst one I stayed for was only 45 minutes. And I was like, okay, I've got to go now. Bye.
And if you don't mind me saying, there is a particular type of this kind of like fast moving, sort of like hunting, being this active on the apps that can lend itself to ignoring things, right? Of being like, okay, my outcome is one of these people I'm going to stay 100%. With. So then it can become this kind of scarcity mindset of like, okay, I've got to choose the best of the worst versus like, okay, we've still got to notice and examine every red flag.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend anyone does what I did back then because, like you said, it's just you're almost like playing some weird chasing game of just trying to get someone who will at least tick some boxes and then run with someone who will tick some of them. But that's obviously not really what you want, especially when they're good things like honesty, loyalty. Do you know what I mean? Not just like, do they have brown hair and are they over 6 foot? Like silly criteria. You end up sacrificing really important qualities that just because, like you said, you're looking for just something that would be like slightly aligned.
Yeah. And this is it, right? That, you know, that is a part of the app. So they're kind of skewed towards the information that we have. And a lot of that is kind of visual or these sort of very like surface level, like value judgments, right? Which actually really don't kind of tell the full story of who someone is. You know, I know Hinge like gets a lot of praise for like having certain metrics, like whether or not someone has kids, you know, what someone's religion is, whether they smoke, things like that. And I think whilst there's something to be said for that, if any of those things are kind of like hard and fast, like, well, I know I 100% want kids. And so I need someone that's on the same page with me. Humans also aren't that simple. Mm. You know, like you might be open to someone that smokes, but you may not be as open to someone that smokes as much as this person does. You know, like we never really know till the date. So looking back on it now, is there anything you changed? Like, would the batch approach be something you kept?
The batch approach. I honestly did that for my own sanity half the time as well.
But so it was like taking breaks thing?
I'd take breaks and then I'd batch them all up. So I had 83 likes almost in my bank, people that had matched with me on Hinge. So I'd just go through all of them in one sitting and I pick the best ones. But the thing I've learned, and like I'm really excited to share this, is I think I've cracked it of like what to look for in a healthy long-term relationship. And it's the three A's, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is acceptance. And I think this, I always put this one first because I think it's the most important one. So it's, will they be accepting of like your flaws and your quirks, basically your weaknesses that we all have? Like none of us are perfect, but the only important thing is they know what they are and they're accepting of them. And I think then you're going to fly. The second one is adventure. You have to have fun together. Otherwise, what is the point? And often I say like, it doesn't need to be, you know, going on skydiving trips or like really exotic holidays. Your adventure could literally be like you guys playing video games.
How you have fun together.
But you have fun with it. Yeah, exactly. Like it doesn't need to be something really exotic. It just needs to be something that you both enjoy and that you can have adventures with, whether that's board games at home, literally. It could be something so simple. And then the third is affection. Obviously, this is what like differentiates it from a friendship. You need to have that sexual element and you need to be communicative about that. So all those three things, I think you're set to go.
Tick, tick, tick. I like that. It's a fun criterion. Like you say, it probably makes a bit more sense than, oh, my soulmate, they could only be this height.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This specific number of inches, which they may or may not be telling the truth about. And so I would add, I think you're a great example of knowing who you are in this thing we call the dating games. We're all kind of characters to an extent, right? We can all sort of spin out and have our quirks in dating and be, you know, trying to figure out who we are and trying to be ourselves, but also, you know, the right version of ourselves. And so I think there's a lot to be said for knowing who you are and the ways in which, I guess, you're not yourself, the ways in which kind of quirks come out when we're dating.
Yeah.
You know, because we're so busy trying to figure everyone else out. And we might be some of the problem too.
100%. It's always a two-way street. I like that. I'm going to add accept yourself to the accepting column.
There you go. Brilliant. And you have a podcast. You matchmake people. You're trying to pass this on by prioritizing people's personalities via them being audio guests on your show. And then the listeners can see if they want to write in and date anyone. And I'm going to be on the show soon.
Yes. So people can hear all about you and your dating criteria.
Yeah. So that's one to check out. So I'll find a way to kind of share that in an upcoming episode of this if people want to go listen to me be an entity, a character in someone else's show. Is there anything else you want to share about the kind of the mission there and what the show's about?
Yeah, I think the main thing that maybe hasn't been communicated in what we've spoken about is I just want it to also be fun. I think, like, we kind of spoke on it with the batches and the apps, and they just, like, they're so exhausting, to be honest. Like, and I just wanted it to be something that people could listen to when they're on a walk or, like, habit stacking with their cleaning. I don't know, like, whatever people do with their podcasts. And they can listen to fun single people. Everyone I have on my show is so fun. No pressure, Bobby. But because they've signed up to, like, you are fun. It's fine. But because they sign up usually to lead with their personality, like, everyone brings such good stories and, like, real energy to it. And I think in comparison to the apps, it's just not what you get. You see people's profiles. Most of the time, they haven't even written them themselves. Their friends have probably orchestrated it for them. The amount of people's profiles I've made speaks to that. Because people are like, oh, you're good at this. You do it. And yeah, I just think it's so authentic in comparison. Listening to someone speak for 30 minutes, you really get a good sense of who they are. And on the apps, that just doesn't come across. There's so many, I always say this, there's so many of the people that I went on dates with that I would have never have gone on a date with if I'd heard them speak for half an hour about themselves. No chance.
Yeah.
That
is very diplomatic and very true.
It almost stops you going on those bad dates because you can, you know, you write in for someone, you've heard what they're about and you're saying yes to who they are, not, I don't know, what they look like. And I do have a few official couples, which is very exciting. So it is working.
Yes. And you had one of your own friends now went ahead, literally, met someone via this show, and they also moved in together.
Yeah, they moved in literally on Saturday. So the weekend just gone.
There you go. So much fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And for now, we'll wrap up there with that bit of a teaser. And thank you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Bobby.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damaged by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit Regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.